Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ. And our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our special guest is Michelle Nevarez, founder and CEO of Beyond the Eye. I know Michelle from my certification during the Daniel Goleman Emotional Intelligence Coaching Program and continuing as one of her to be meta coaches of Beyond Emotional Intelligence Program. Michelle, it is an honor and pleasure to have you today with us, especially that we are doing this recording on the first day of the spring and Nowruz celebration, which is a time of renewal. And we are ready for the breeze of your wisdom on emotional intelligence. And welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here with you. It's true, we've been on this emotional intelligence journey for a long time together, haven't we?
It is before, during, and after the pandemic.
Yes.
Hysterical. And yeah. Michelle, yeah, for the sake of our time, I ask usually our guests to let us know that how they like our audience to know them and what the world should know about them.
Wonderful. So yeah, so I was saying to you a little bit ago how it's interesting that the field of emotional intelligence is evolving like anything, right? And so it'd be fun, I think, to talk a little bit about how the field of emotional intelligence has evolved and is evolving. And you've seen that, right? Even in the work we've done together with Daniel Goleman's work being really seminal and being, you know, what people have come to know and think about in terms of what it means to be emotionally intelligent. And then the neuroscience that is coming along and becoming more nuanced relative to within that, how do we become more emotionally intelligent in real terms and not just sort of learning what it means intellectually?
Exactly. So, I mean, your work, your book especially, you call it Beyond EI. So can you just define what is emotional intelligence and what does beyond emotional intelligence means after all?
I love it. Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, it's funny because the title of my book, just that part of the title changed in the week before publishing and going to print. Before it was called Emotionally Intelligent Habits. But in the end, really, yes, emotional intelligence is a baseline. It's so important. But when you think about it, we need to be skillful with all of our perceptions, and emotions are sensory-based perceptions. And so what I was aiming for with the title in terms of Beyond Emotional Intelligence is just this idea that we should be skillful and learn practices for being skillful with all of our perceptions. So, and I also think that, you know, one of the things that we're learning from the neuroscience is that really emotion and so-called rational thought, they go hand in hand. You really can't separate them. You can suppress your emotions, but the way the brain works is that the two really go hand in hand. And so I think we need to get away from this idea that somehow the two are different, or that, you know, we should leave our emotions at the door, for example, which we all know is not healthy at this point and isn't even possible.
I know, exactly. That's a good point to bring it up, actually. I was just curious, what is important thing do you think for the people to understand about the role of the EI in our everyday living?
Sure. Well, it's interesting because I, you know, this question even of what is emotional intelligence? And it's just, it's not a question that can be answered, I think, with a single sentence, to be honest. I think there are so many elements to what it means to truly embody one's own emotional intelligence. So for example, the traditional definition, you'd hear things like, okay, it's an awareness of your own emotions, right? And their impact on others, as well as the ability to tune into other people's emotions and be able to act skillfully. And that's great. That's a good sort of baseline understanding of, you know, at a high level, what emotional intelligence involves. But the truth is there's so much more. And so, for example, if we look at, you know, we need to at least have a working knowledge of how perception and emotion work at a brain-body level if we ever hope to embody EI. So that's one thing that I tend to refer to as, you know, emotional fluency, right? Or that ability to put it into action in your day-to-day life. And so when we think about what are the different ways that we can act on what we have influence on, this becomes how we enact it in, you know, at work, at home. And it turns out that there are specific practices and areas where we do have personal agency. And so I think getting to the heart of some of those practices, whether it's, you know, how am I more resilient or can I be more agile, for example, can I create environments that both have, you know, the conditions for safety and security, which is the foundation for being able to connect with someone else, to have empathy, to have compassion. And then finally, it's the ability to, you know, act skillfully with our perceptions according to each new context. And so it, you know, yes, we need to be able to express ourselves, but by the same token, we also need to be able to, you know, basically influence those around us positively by how we embody, how we express, when we express, right?
So. Yes, you are right. You are right. And as you mentioned, you know, knowing is different than doing and than being. So it's just, I know that, you know, I've been practicing and studying this work for many years. So still, there is still a lot to do as just being that, you know, that and embody the EI, you know, as skillfully as you mentioned, act on it and to know how and when to present it. And you know that, you know, I work mostly with the healthcare professionals and my background is healthcare also. Why do you think especially EI is important in leadership, healthcare and education, referring to your background work and history that you have been in HR for many years?
Oh, that's a great question. I worked in healthcare administration for close to a decade. And so in many hospital clinic settings, and while I was never in the care provider role, what was really, really clear is that patient outcomes, patient care, the ability to interact skillfully with patients and their families is at the heart really of what doctors and anybody attending to patients have to be able to do. And yet, as you know, this is not something that is taught in the curriculum of most medical schools or even residency programs. So it's a true gap, right? We're asking a lot of physicians in general, and, you know, and nurses and all of the other folks who interface with patients and their families as well, to be able to do these things that we aren't taught really how to do. And so, you know, some of the work that we do at our company, as you know, is also with physicians. And we've trained at this point 90 physician leaders across Europe and the US in emotional intelligence. And honestly, it's some of the most rewarding work we've done because we know that as a result of this work, that patient outcomes are actually going to be better when that relationship with the patient is more skillful, right?
Yes, exactly. Not only the relationships with the patients, but also, as we know, the burnout, you know, risk is so much,
Yes.
so high, you know, in the physicians, residents and fellows, that these skills are also helping the healthcare professionals how they can take care also of themselves and their emotional
Yes.
relationships, you know, with the triggers, you know, and with the, and help their resiliency. I know that
Yes.
because I have a son also, you know, has been a medical student and now resident, and next
Yes.
year hopefully will be a fellow. And I know that how wonderful would have been if these skills have been taught in medical schools, you know, to
Exactly.
them. And we also have a program coming up with for the parents, you know, and also a kids coaching program, because as we know, it's just everything is starting in the home and as family. So the education
Yes.
system also, the early age, these are the skills that the parents, you know, and the teachers and the counselor in the schools have to be educated with them so they, our children can benefit from them. And being that said, what do you think the discipline and practice of ER is evolving and where is it going?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I think you bring up a really good point around just well-being in general, because like emotional intelligence, this is something we're not necessarily taught how to manage and cultivate our own well-being. And honestly speaking, that's the baseline for everything. So if we, so I definitely consider that like part of the equation, because think about it, if we are lacking sleep regularly, if we don't get a sound meal, if we're under, constant stress or, even distraction in stressful situations that now kind of fill everybody's lives in different ways, then we're not necessarily creating the conditions to be at our best, let alone more emotionally intelligent, right? So I think it really starts with the basics of how can we work with what we have access to within our own design and our own well-being to create the conditions for us to be more emotionally intelligent, for example. And then on top of that, right, in terms of, where is the discipline going and what does that training look like? I think, at least in our work where I became really, focused, laser focused when, for example, we were looking at taking, Daniel Goleman's model of EI and turning it into a program, right, for coaches to train their clients in emotional intelligence and themselves, right? What I started asking and then kind of more fully explored in this book I wrote was, where do we have agency? Because at the end of the day, that's where we need to focus, is where we actually have influence in our own lives. And so it turns out, thankfully, there are practices and skills that we can learn that allow us to incrementally increase our ability to be more emotionally intelligent, or even, for example, to recover from setbacks or to be able to adapt, for example. And so when I think about just what is that, kind of training environment need to look and feel like for anyone, right? Whoever we're talking about, kids, adults, lawyers, physicians, whoever it is, what we're really doing is trying to create the conditions both externally, right, in our environment, as well as internally inside of ourselves to be at our best.
Exactly. So in other way, if we learn how to lead and coach ourselves, then we learn how to lead and coach others. So starting, you know,
Yes.
from the people who we are living with to the people that we are working with, or just as you mentioned, expand the horizon of our influence in a different way as a role model. And,
yes.
Yeah, Michelle, just how does your work personally in the field of emotional intelligence has been impactful to your own life?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's for so many years before I started this company and kind of took a directionally different path from what I'd been doing before. I spent about 25 years in corporate in different roles, mainly within HR, sometimes in the business when I was in investment management. And I worked across many industries. And so what I realized eventually, though, is that my what's important to me at kind of that intrinsic motivator level is really my spiritual practice. And it's about becoming a better person, ultimately, for me. That's what this is all about. And so I wanted to do work that's more closely in alignment with the work that I personally need to undertake. And so, you know, when I made the decision back in about 2015-16 to move in this direction of this work, I think it was one of the best decisions I made, because what I do for a living and what I spend a lot of my time thinking about is really tied in with what's personally meaningful for me. And so I'll be honest, it's not always been a happy story, in the sense of when you really look at yourself and become more self-aware, of course, you're going to see things that are out of step, for example, with how you actually want to be, or maybe even how others perceive and experience you. So what I'm trying to say is that there have been many experiences over the last 6 years I've been really focused on this work, where I've had to be real with myself about what are the things that I could be doing better, for example. And so I think really the upshot of what I'm trying to say is that I chose this because it's what aligns with my most important reasons that I feel that I'm on this planet. And that is just to be a better person and to benefit others with the work I do.
Lovely. And I really like that sentence you mentioned, that to be real with myself. And that's really resonating with me also the same way. And I also believe that emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence as a part of work that we are doing are related, and emotional EI is foundation of the SQ also. So without understanding our emotion, our spirituality and our spiritual intelligence also is not complete. Completely understandable. And that's a wonderful way just to put it, that how important it is to understand our purpose with understanding our own being, starting with our emotions. And I'm reaching to my favorite part, which is your book, Beyond EI. You talk about this 12 self-discoveries, which I love those that so much that when we even made the signature, our signature coaching bands from them. So, and every time that, you know, I use it with the clients, I wear those bands, and we just have it also on our website so that people can buy it from there. What do you think about these 12 self-discoveries? What's your favorite one? And what's the most essential one you think for the work of the leadership also, or the coaching?
Right. Thank you for that. Yeah. So the origin of the 12 self-discoveries is a little bit of an interesting story, because they came about really just from the years of coaching leaders, which I did, you know, in my HR work. And I started to see patterns of areas where leaders and people in general get in their own way, certainly not on purpose, right? These are often habits of mind, things that are more hidden to the individual, but perhaps even more visible to those around them, right? It's kind of like, you know, I think of like if we're watching like a television series, or which are so common these days, and, you know, we can see everything about the characters, but they can't necessarily see those things about themselves. Well, guess what? We're the same. And so the 12 self-discoveries are really meant to be a diagnostic for coaches and their clients to ignite their own inner wisdom in a way to operationalize what it means to be emotionally intelligent. And so they show up as patterns of things that are either not working so well if we're not aware of them, and yet we can transform them to be our allies or things that serve us better if we know that they're there and present. And it's usually with the help of a coach who helps us, you said it earlier, develop our own inner coach. And so there are 12 of these. So it's by no means exhaustive, but they are pretty rich in and of themselves. But it's so hard to pick just one. But if I had to pick just one, it would probably be the first one, which is that we are the common denominator. And I would pick that one because that's where it all starts and ends. Meaning, in a very real sense, there is no experience or perception or emotion that we experience while we're alive that isn't mediated by our own mind, by ourselves. And so, you know, our stories, how we perceive reality, which then leads to, you know, what we think and what we believe and becomes the trajectory for how we show up in our lives with ourselves and others. So it all kind of begins and ends with us having agency and accountability.
Exactly. I love that. And my favorite one actually is the don't believe everything you think. So it's just that.
Nice.
You also mentioned that just being on our own way. And that's sometimes I talk with my clients about it. Don't be your own worst enemy. So it's just that.
Yes.
It's really obvious that sometimes really just between us and our goal, the only thing that is standing is us and the thoughts that are coming, and we cannot, you know, differ it with the reality that is going on. So don't believe everything you think is my favorite one. And I just wear it some days just to fact checks before doing the going for a judgment and jumping to conclusion and make the stories that are not real. And I think that many of us have these habits of making those stories and when it's not necessary. And
yeah,
being that said,
so
yeah, and I encourage, I mean, everyone, just if you have time to go and find this book. And Michelle, if you can tell us how they can find your book, how they can know more about your work and the exercise, the muscle of their EQ, and anything for our audience that they should or need to know.
Beautiful. Sure. So the name of the book, the full title is Beyond Emotional Intelligence, A Guide to Accessing Your Full Potential. And it can be found really in any online outlet. It's published by Wiley. And I guess it's already been a little bit. It was published during the pandemic, which was kind of interesting. I wrote it during the pandemic. It was kind of like a, oh my Lord, I wrote it in 6 months. So it was just quite an undertaking. But for finding our work that we do, we are, you can find our company Beyond EI at beyondei.inc, I-N-C. So, you know, we have lots of, as you know, programs that people can go through on their own online. You can go through with a coach. And then we have some longer programs, as you know, where they're pretty deep dive into either becoming an EI coach or getting coached by an EI coach.
Exactly. And if you like me to be your coach, please specify, you know, the me as your, you know, desired coach. So I would love to walk you through the program and just go through this journey together. And being that said, Michelle, just thank you so much for being with us tonight and today. So, and happy spring and wish you the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Good night. Goodbye to our listeners. And remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.